You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
At Chris Carlin, C-H-R-I-S-C-A-R-L-I-N, over on Twitter. We'll go Instagram live later as well during the show at That Guy Carlin. All of that on tap as we tonight get to look at the NFL schedule for 2020. Do me a favor. Let's lay out a ground rule for tonight. And if you want tonight only, but for the moment, let's just stick to it for the next several hours. We have to suspend disbelief. Okay? Let's act like when the schedules come out for both the Jets and the Giants in the next hour or so, that we are fully expecting to have football this fall, that there aren't any other extenuating circumstances, that we're just operating under the notion that this is going to happen. Because between now and then, frankly, there's an awful lot of time. And nobody knows what could happen between now and then, so let's keep this as optimistic as possible and operate tonight's show as if all of this is going to happen. I don't want to get into what happens if this game gets moved or they have to cancel these games. No, no, no. Tonight, we are going to operate as if weeks 1 through 17 are going to happen exactly as they will be laid out this evening. Why? Because that's what I choose to do. We all want to be optimistic and look forward to something, so let's just treat it all as if it's fact, okay? Now, having said that, the harsh reality is, no matter where the layout is, the Jets schedule is just going to be un-freaking-believably brutal. Just off the charts rough. If you have not familiarized yourself with their opponents for this year, specifically on the road, it's going to make you sick if you're a Jet fan. Or if you just frankly needed a refresher course. And I hate to put it that way, but it's 100% accurate. On the road this season, and by the way, rumored to be week one, are the Buffalo Bills. You also have, of course, the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. But you also go to Houston to see Deshaun Watson. You also go to Indianapolis to see Phillip Rivers and the Colts. You also go to Atlanta, which is never an easy place to play. You also, I'm sorry, those are the 2021 opponents. What am I talking about? You also go to Seattle. You also go to Kansas City. Two of the absolute most brutal, brutal places to go and play. I mean, those are the roughest of the rough. So you're going to Indianapolis. You're going to L.A. for the Rams. You're going to L.A. for the Chargers. You're going to Kansas City. You're going to Seattle. Unreal how hard those road games are right now. Unbelievable. And when you look at those games, you have to understand that I'm not saying it's going to be a rough year. It's just the Jets have been dealt an incredibly difficult hand. Now, here's the good news. Yes, while it is interesting to try to figure out how it's going to play out, the layout of the schedule, while I don't think it's going to make a terribly big difference in this case, is going to potentially help them if you get a couple of these teams to fall off. At home this year, you've got the Raiders. You've got the Browns, who have been dysfunctional, let's face it. You've got the Cardinals. These are some good things. You've got the Denver Broncos with Drew Locke, who we don't know a damn thing about in terms of his abilities. And then you have the 49ers. So at home, it's not nearly as bad, in addition to the Patriots, the Bills, and the Dolphins. I look at the Jets, though, and I look at as they're presently constituted. And we all talk about wanting to see improvement. If you're going by what we see right now, improvement in wins and losses off of the 7-9 year last year is asking an awful lot of this football team. this is a point that a caller made, and I would want to give that caller credit, but I don't remember their name at the moment. But it is 100% accurate. The Jets could actually have a worse record this season and be a better football team than they were this past year. That's definitely possible. And when you're evaluating this football team, as much as I want to tell you that they have to start winning and they have to start showing progress, all of that is true. But you also, more than anything else, need to see the progress from the quarterback and believe that your team is better, even though they may not win as many games at the end of the year. How do you do that if you don't see tangible evidence? In this case, more than many others, it may be easier to do than you think. It may be easier to take a look at a football team that is not scrambling after a 1-7 start to come back and win some games when maybe it doesn't mean as much, but a team that is progressively playing within a touchdown or less of a lot of good football teams. I would take that this season. I would take a quarterback that had an offensive line that was much better for him, that showed real progress. And by real progress, I mean touchdowns in the 25 to 30 range and the interceptions, if possible, in single digits. Is that too much to ask? Maybe, but maybe low double digits, maybe 11 or 12. But you understand that you have the guy. You may not win some of these games. You could go to Indianapolis and lose a tight game. You could go to Seattle, and if you lost a tight game, you could live with it. If you went to Kansas City and you were competitive against the Chiefs, you could live with it. If you won a couple of the other games that you should win, if you go and you beat the Chargers on the road against a rookie quarterback, if you beat the Miami Dolphins twice this season, even though they are better, it would go a long way for me. I think that the progress for the Jets this season should not specifically be measured in wins and losses. The progress for the Jets this season should be measured more by a feeling. And you know that feeling. You know that feeling when your team is headed in the right direction, even though they might not be winning as many games. You know, it's not like the Jets are a terribly old football team. They're not. They have some cornerstone players here. They have a couple of players that you're still waiting to find out about. And they have a couple of younger guys that you really hope turn out to be cornerstone type players. Guys who they just drafted like Mekhi Becton and Denzel Mims. I look at the Jets this season, and if they go 6-10, I'm not going to feel horrible about them if I look at them and it feels like a team that's better, a team that's headed in the right direction. I know that's crazy to say, but this schedule is such that that can be the case. It truly can. I think 7-9 last year was done with some smoke and mirrors, frankly. After a 1-7 start, there's no doubt that they played better as the season went along. There's no doubt that they were able to make some plays as the season went along. But I didn't come out of it thinking, you know what, they're definitely coming out of the woods next year. Mm-mm. I could come out of this year at 6-10 and honestly believe that. I'm not telling you to hope for that. Obviously, we all hope for the best, and you try to get as many as you can. But I just, at that end of the year, want to have that feeling that this is all headed in the right direction. Now, from a Giant perspective, this is so off the charts compelling to me, frankly, because they have a home schedule with the 49ers, with the Steelers, who are always tough, with the Eagles, with the Cowboys, with the Buccaneers, that is relatively difficult. You want to mix in the Browns there to say they're going to be better, to say they're going to get their house in order? Okay. I'm not ready to throw the Redskins or the Cardinals in that discussion yet, but we saw what happened with the Cardinals last year. We've seen the Giants lay some stinkers down there. I look at the road schedule and Cincinnati and the Rams and the Seahawks and the Bears. This also is not the easiest of schedules. For Dave Gettleman, you have to see true progress. You have to see wins and loss progress. You have to see real progress from the quarterback who even had a really, I would say, a pretty good first year. You have to see wins and losses improve, because otherwise Dave Gettleman's not going to be here next year. Joe Judge will, and Joe Judge, unless it's an abject disaster and he's completely overmatched in the job, is a lot more likely to be here for the long haul. The Giants need to get everybody on the same page. And if that means moving on from Dave Gettleman after this year, if they were to have a 5-11, a 6-10 type year, then that's what's going to happen. I don't look at the Giants and think that's a 10 or 11 win team. I just don't. It's hard to believe that even though they've made some moves to get better, I like the James Bradberry signing. You know, I like Daniel Jones. I like the fact that they went and they brought in a cornerstone tackle in the draft, and Andrew Thomas. I like their core of receivers. I still don't love what they've got going on at pass rush. I still don't love the idea of bringing in Green Bay linebackers from a Green Bay defense that frankly wasn't any good. I don't look at them and think they're much better. And for their sake, you need to start to see that. I know it sounds strange to have different expectations for one team versus another, but if you really look at the overall big picture, you understand it's fair. I think for both these teams, in terms of the wins and losses, the major jump will come in 2021. I don't think it's happening in 2020. I think that you will have two teams that you hope will find a way to make the season compelling, that you hope will find a way to have games matter as we pass Thanksgiving weekend, that you hope in mid to late December, you got to plan your Christmas shopping around the Giants and Jets. You hope that that's all going to be the case. I'm not convinced it's going to be. 800-919-3776. We should be hearing around 7:30 from some of these teams. A couple of these games have already leaked out. It appears that the Giants will play week 2 at Chicago and week 16 at Baltimore. We told you about the rumored Jet game earlier that would be opening up in Buffalo. But if you are a Jet fan, could you actually live with a 6-10 season, considering who you're playing, if you got all the things that you needed to feel like they were headed in the right direction? And from a Giant perspective, is whatever happens in wins and losses this year, as you try to climb your way back in, going to affect you one way or another? And what I mean by that is simply this. The losses mean you lose Dave Gettleman. The wins mean you're a better team. 800-919-3776. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, at Chris Carlin over on Twitter. Let's go, people. Open lines, hit them. We will have the schedules soon. We will have Bart Scott later on. Mr. Canty is a little under the weather, so there is a lot there for you. Plus, I really am starting to think that the Wilpons are delusional.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You ready? Here we go. Week 1 at Buffalo. Week 2, San Francisco at home. Week 3 at Indianapolis. Week 4, Denver on Thursday Night Football. Week 5, Arizona. Week 6, at the Chargers. Week 7, Buffalo at home. Week 8, at Kansas City. Week 9, Patriots on Monday Night Football. Week 10, at Miami. Week 11, bye week. And then how about this in week 12? Miami. So they actually get the Dolphins as back-to-back opponents with a bye squeezed in between. Week 13, the Raiders. Week 14, Seattle. Week 15, at the Rams. So they can stay out west if they choose to, week 14 and 15. Week 16, Cleveland. Week 17, at New England. So, as you look at it, they actually have a chance to get off to an okay start if they can play the Bills tough in week one. You could be 0-3 and then trying to get to 3-3 with Denver, Arizona at the Chargers. But if you could get one of those first three and win the games that you're supposed to, you could start the year 4-2. Very interesting. I have never seen the back-to-back with a bye in between against the same team. All right. Are we ready for the Giants? Here we go. Week 1, Pittsburgh at home, Monday Night Football. Week 2, at Chicago. Week 3, San Francisco at home. Week 4, at the Rams. Week 5, at Dallas. Week 6, home for the Redskins. Week 7, Thursday Night Football, at the Eagles. Then a bye week. Then, on November 2nd, is that right? Is that a bye week? No, I'm sorry. That's not a bye week. Thursday night to Monday night. So they get a little time off in between. It's a Monday Night Football against the Buccaneers at home on November 2nd. Then it's at Washington, the Eagles at home, then the bye week. Then they go to Cincinnati. Then they go to Seattle in December. Oof. Cardinals at home. Browns at home. At the Ravens. Cowboys at home. So you want to look at it optimistically? Here's a couple of things from a Giants perspective. You've got the Cardinals, the Browns, and the Cowboys all at home in the month of December, if you can get to December and it matters. That start to the season, the Steelers at home, at Chicago, San Francisco, at the Rams, at Dallas. Oof. And you don't really get an easy couple of games in a row anywhere. Because after that, you've got the Redskins at home, followed by Thursday night against the Eagles. Short week there. Get a little extra time off, but then the Buccaneers are in. Then you go back to Washington, the Eagles. Then you go to the Bengals, but then you go to Seattle. If you can find your way to December alive after the Seahawks on December 6th, you have a shot. And it could be, and it's a week 17 matchup against the Cowboys on January 3rd. So the Giants open up with the Pittsburgh Steelers at home on Monday Night Football. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That is a rough start to the year for the Giants in the first five games. Pittsburgh's always tough, and they will have Ben back in theory. Go to Chicago, San Francisco at home, at the Rams, at the Cowboys. Oof. You might be fortunate for that to be 1-4. Fortunate. This is not going to be pleasant.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
In the middle of October through early November, 4 out of 5 weeks, they play the Bears on Thursday Night Football in Chicago. Then they got Green Bay at home for a 425 game, followed by a trip to take on the Raiders Sunday Night Football. They play the Giants in New York on Monday Night Football. And then they play the Saints on Sunday Night Football at home on November 8th. And then 2 weeks later, they're back in primetime again on Monday Night Football against the Rams. So there you go. The Buccaneers, get ready for a lot of Tom Brady. They better hope he doesn't get hurt early in the year. Because if he's not playing, that's a lot of bad quarterback play. Oh, boy. Wow. 800-919-3776. So the Giants and Jets schedules are out. We're hitting the calls. I will recap the schedules here right now as we just got them about 25 minutes ago. Quickly, Giants open up at home against Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football to start the season, a 7:15 kick earlier because of the doubleheader on Monday Night Football in week one. Then they go to Chicago. Then they've got San Francisco at home in week three. Week four on the road against the Rams. Week five on the road against the Cowboys. That is a rough start to the year. Week six, home for the Redskins. Week seven, Eagles in Philadelphia, Thursday Night Football. Week eight, Tampa Bay at home, Monday Night Football. So the Giants have two Monday night games this year, no Sunday night games, and it looks like no Thursday night games. Then they go on the road for Washington, home for the Eagles, bye week, at Cincinnati, at Seattle. November, three road games, two of them not brutal, Washington and the Bengals. And then move on to early December the next week, and you're on the road in Seattle. You close out 3 out of 4 at home, Cardinals, Browns, at the Ravens, Cowboys at home. Can you get to December alive? That's what you want to know from a Giant perspective. And can you get out of the first 5 weeks alive? Jets, quickly, on the road at Buffalo week one. Week two, home for the 49ers. Week three, at Indianapolis. Week four, Thursday Night Football against the Broncos at home. Week five, the Cardinals at home. Again, we got to factor in DeAndre Hopkins and year two of Kyler Murray. Week six, at the Chargers. Week seven, home for the Buffalo Bills. Week eight, at Kansas City. Week nine, the Patriots, Monday Night Football. Week 10, at Miami. Then the bye week. Then Miami again, this time at home. So the Jets have a bye week in between their two Miami games. Then they got the Raiders at home in early December, at the Seahawks, at the Rams, so they could stay out west in December, which you would think they probably would do. Last home game of the year is against the Browns. And then, of course, they go on the road to take on the Patriots to close out the season. And Odell Beckham does not come to play the Giants until December either. So the Browns, back-to-back weeks, will be at MetLife Stadium, first against the Giants, then against the Jets. All right, let's hit the calls, 800-919-3776. Andy's in Morristown, New Jersey. Andy, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Chris. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for keeping us entertained here. Your show is definitely a nice break from the lockdown. Two things though, on the schedule. I don't really care about the schedule. I'm just happy we have one and we're looking at football again.
Fair enough.
But going back to the draft, I just have a question that just befuddles me. Neither Detroit nor the Giants grabbed Tua and used him as trade bait for Miami. Would everybody know in Miami wanted him? That would have been the opportunity to force Miami's hand and to pick up some additional picks. Any thoughts on why neither Detroit or the Giants tried to pull the trigger on that?
Well, it was more likely that Detroit would have picked a quarterback. I think they knew the Giants weren't taking Tua. You know, I don't think that they were going to be able to. The only way they could have snookered the Dolphins into trying to move up is by threatening that the Chargers were trying to move up. And I think it's very dangerous to try to play that game. I shouldn't say dangerous, but, you know, you have to be able to sell that pretty well. And if you don't believe that the Chargers are moving up to get Tua, why are you going to spend the draft capital to move up? Where the point was, would have been, if you were the Detroit Lions and you could convince them you were taking a quarterback.
True.
I don't think
true.
The Giants had a good opportunity to get much to in order to move back, because the Giants wanted to move back from four.
And Detroit wanted to move back from three. So that's why I'm surprised that the Giants.
I don't think there was a great market for either pick.
True. Good point.
Appreciate it, Andy. Thanks for checking in, brother. I just don't think there was a great market for either pick. 800-919-3776. All right, quickly. Sunday night football schedule. You know what? Here's the Sunday night schedule. Week one, which is the NFL kickoff, which is the Thursday night game, as we know, is the Texans and Chiefs. So the Chiefs open up at home for the Texans Thursday, September 10th. Then you've got Cowboys at the Rams to open up the Rams' new stadium, week one. Week two, Patriots at Seahawks. Week three, Packers, Saints. Not bad. Week four, Eagles at San Francisco. Very good game. Week five, Vikings at Seahawks. Week six, the Rams at San Francisco. Week seven, the Buccaneers in Vegas against the Raiders. Week eight, Cowboys, Eagles in Philadelphia. Week nine, Saints, Bucks in Tampa. Week 10, Ravens, Patriots in New England. Week 11, Chiefs, Raiders. Week 12, on Thanksgiving. Ooh, Thanksgiving night. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Oh, that's a good one. Chicago and Green Bay, week 12. Denver, Kansas City, week 13. Pittsburgh, Buffalo, week 14. 49ers, Cowboys, week 15. And week 16, you got the Titans and the Packers. That is your Sunday night football schedule. Of course, there's always the flex possibilities there. Jimmy and Merrick is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chris. Great show, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
How did the Giants and the Jets, probably two of the laziest teams last year, the worst teams, get the toughest schedule? I'm not understanding that.
You know, it has to do with the formula that they use. You obviously have the teams in your division, and then you have the teams that you play in the non-conference games, the division that you play in the non-conference games, just based on, you know, when you've played them last. And it was their time for the Giants, for instance, to play the AFC North. And then the rest just kind of works out as a schedule. So, you know, whether it's the Rams, the Bears in there, as the other two teams, and the Seahawks as well, you know, it's the formula that the NFL uses. So, unfortunately for them, you know, in theory, the Bears and the Rams were not that bad of those kind of games to have. You know, the Cardinals at home, not bad of that kind of game to have. You know, it's a little dicey there.
Chris, my question to you is, how many games does this guy Adam Gase have to win to stay as Jets coach?
I don't think it's a matter of games. I don't think it's a matter of wins this year. I got to be honest. I think it has a lot more to do with the quarterback. If the Jets, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, if the Jets go 6-10 this year, but the arrow's pointing up on Sam Darnold and he's thrown, you know, 27 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, something like that, those numbers go down, the picks go down, then I think you're going to see Gase here. Because I think they're going to feel like it's all headed in the right direction. They're not going to want to change up the offensive system on Darnold again.
Right. One more question, Chris, before I let you go. Antonio Brown, is this guy totally banned from the league? I mean, is no team going to sign him like Kaepernick? Is there any shot the Jets might be able to pick up a guy like this? Because I can't see this wide receiver core doing anything.
I got to tell you, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to go get Antonio Brown. He's got a lengthy suspension that he'd be facing to begin with, likely like 10 games possibly like that. But you also have to factor in, do you want to do that with Darnold? Do you want to bring that kind of headache in when, you know, the Patriots, who have one of those cultures where they're never afraid to bring a team, a player in if he's got great ability, but maybe a headache, the Patriots got rid of him. To me, that's enough.
Right, right.
All right, Greg, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That wasn't Greg. I'm sorry. My bad. We'll get to Greg in just a second. The Patriots, if they move on from him, it's just, that's good enough for me. If Belichick can't make it work, what's the point? 800-919-3776. Your reaction to your team's schedules, the Jets and the Giants. Get on board right now. It is a rough first couple of weeks for the Giants. A rough first few weeks of the season. First five, to be exact. Pittsburgh at home, on the road at Chicago. Home for San Francisco, on the road at the Rams, on the road at Dallas. That could be 1-4. I hate to say it, you almost hope for 2-3. Yeah, I guess you could hope for 3-2 and maybe Roethlisberger's rusty and, you know, he's not the same guy he was a couple of years ago, which I don't think he is. Yeah, it would take a lot to be 3-2 there. If the Giants came out of that 3-2, you got a chance to compete.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I want to fill you in right now on what the league has in mind for any issues that they have with the virus in terms of contingencies. Now, this all comes from Adam Schefter. According to Schefter, if the start of the season was pushed back 2 months, then the first half of the schedule simply could be moved to the back half of the schedule, assuming that the Super Bowl could be pushed back for the corresponding period. And if a 16-game season cannot be realized, the NFL might look at a 14-game year in which the first 2 weeks of the regular season would become the last 2 weeks of the regular season, and weeks 3 and 4 would be dropped. So you got that? It could be the entire first half of the year could be moved to the back half of the year and then move everything back. Or they could actually get rid of 2 weeks in a year, make it a 14-game season. And in that case, weeks 3 and 4 would be dropped. As of right now, there are no plans to push back the Super Bowl, and it's not an active discussion about that. But in that case, so the Giants would potentially have the first half of their schedule moved to the back half. And, or if they shifted to a 14-game schedule, the two games they would lose would be the 49ers at home and on the road at the Rams. Not bad. Not too bad at all to lose those games. So then, in that case, you would move the first 2 weeks of the year, the Steelers and the Bears, to the back end. Is that correct? Yes. The first 2 weeks of the regular season would become the last 2 weeks of the regular season. So the Giants, in theory, could close the year with the Steelers and the Bears and open the season where else? At Dallas. Of course. That would be fitting, wouldn't it, if that happened? But it would be a little bit softer of an open to the year in the first 5-6 weeks, but all division games with one exception, basically, and that's the Buccaneers. Otherwise, it's the Cowboys, it's the Redskins twice, it's the Eagles twice. Interesting. So the Jets under that would lose the road game at the Colts and at the home for the Broncos off of their schedule, and would open up against the Cardinals on October 11th. Bills, 49ers pushed back to the end of the year. 49ers, by the way, back-to-back weeks at MetLife Stadium at the beginning of the season, so you'd assume that they would stay here as well. All right, 800-919-3776. Mark in Newark up next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Chris. I'm just going to make a statement and hang up and listen. Here's my statement. Sign Cam Newton, contend for the Super Bowl. Sign Cam Newton, contend for the Super Bowl.
All right, let's have the discussion for a minute, because here's why. We can have the discussion a little bit more today.
Okay.
Cam reportedly is open to being a backup somewhere. So you want to bring Cam Newton in to start right now for the New York Jets.
Chris, I made it real clear. Cam Newton will be the best quarterback in the AFC East, and further than that, with
that's
him running
setting
out
the bar high. I mean, he better be when he walks in the door.
Cam Newton will be the best, period. If the Jets sign Cam Newton, they have the chance to contend for the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear about and you and I had a conversation earlier in the month about Sam Darnold. If you got to ask the question, then you already know the answer. See, I feel like that.
Cam Newton is not bringing the Jets to the Super Bowl. That's not happening.
The Super Bowl.
No.
Yes.
Can you do me a favor? Where do you get your weed? I got to know. It's obviously great stuff.
I don't smoke weed. Not at all.
Where do you get your liquor? What are you drinking? Because it's phenomenal.
I don't drink alcohol either.
Well,
but I do know this. I know greatness.
That's a problem for you to think that way, and you're not in a chemically altered state.
It, Chris, and Sam Darnold ain't it.
Mark, thanks. Thanks for the call. Cam is not it either, okay? Cam was an MVP. 5 years ago, Cam doesn't have a job yet. Why do you think that is? If teams think they can win with Cam, why wouldn't the New England Patriots sign Cam? Why wouldn't the Denver Broncos sign Cam to compete sooner rather than waiting on Drew Lock? I mean, that's where you lose me. I think that Cam can still play, and the whole idea today that it leaked out that he'd be open to being a backup somewhere tells you what the interest level has been in Cam Newton. In a word, tepid at best. So if he's open to being a backup, I think he's got to go and, you know, take a job in Pittsburgh or someplace like that where there's a decent chance your quarterback could get hurt. The Jets are not going to sign Cam Newton. That's not going to happen. The Jets are going to ride out this season with Sam Darnold. And they're going to find out if he is the future of their franchise. You will know at the end of year three what the deal is. Because as I have said, as he just pointed out, if you are asking the question at the end of year three, then you already know the answer. And the answer is no. 800-919-3776. We got some open lines, so let's hit them. NFL schedule. When we come back, I will also get to why the Wilpons are clearly delusional. That's coming up. I'm watching the show on mute on NFL Network, and I think Bruce Arians has dial-up wherever his internet service is. He's out on a lake somewhere in Tampa, and, you know, I don't know what the deal is there, because it is breaking up so badly. Like, I want to hear that. That noise. The old AOL dial-up. I think that's what Bruce Arians has got. And a hat, too. One of those stupid hats he wears.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Over 350 local businesses reach out, and we are still sharing their messages. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. That's 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our listeners. Again, 987ESPN@gmail.com. Tonight, we're headed to Tottenville, Staten Island. W's Bar and Grill in Tottenville, open Thursday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., located on the corner of Page Avenue and Amboy Road. W's Bar and Grill offers the best burgers, sandwiches, bar bites around. Call 718-948-9412 for curbside pickup and delivery today. 718-948-9412. That's W's Bar and Grill, Tottenville, Staten Island, open Thursday to Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. 800-919-3776. Justin in Long Island is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Justin, what's cooking, brother?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
All right, how you holding up? How's the family?
Everybody's good, man. How you doing?
All right, I'm just here. I want to talk some Jets today. So the schedule just came out. Clearly, we could be division winners this year, but it's really all relies on the offense, and especially Le'Veon Bell needed to get Darnold going. So how do you think they're going to get him going this year? Like, the offensive line improved, but it didn't get much better. So how is Gase going to work with Bell to get Le'Veon going?
All right, a couple of things here. You said clearly they're going to win the division.
No, not win the division. They're going to be contenders in the division now that Brady's
Well, gone. They could be contenders in the division at 8-8 because the division is definitely not that great. So
they have no chance at the wild card, but they can have the division.
Exactly. They got a chance if they were to win 8 games. Now, the trick here with Bell is simply this, okay? You need to get Bell more involved in the pass game, and you need to do things like line him up in the slot more. You need to make him get into – you need to line him up so he's getting into
mismatches. He's a patient guy.
So what?
Not you.
Yeah, no. He needs to be lined up so you're getting matchups that are much better for him. Good talk.
So no,
Justin, what are you doing? Wake up, Thomas. He is in Brooklyn. Thomas, what do you got, big cat?
Hey, I'm not exactly sure how to word this because it might be kind of radical, but what would you think for a Major League Baseball season this year if some owners were allowed to opt into playing and some could opt out of playing? So maybe only 24 of 30 teams actually opt in, and how would that schedule work? Is that crazy? I'm going to hang up and listen to you talk about it.
Well, here, hang on a second, though. All right?
Okay.
Here's the only question I would ask you. Unless you're in cities that are massive hotspots, why would you opt out? Because you're still going to have to pay your players. That's the biggest thing. Now, when I talked about opting out, when I was talking about the Mets could save some money. Maybe a couple of those teams could save some money, but you still have to deal with how you're going to pay those players. And I heard earlier today Jeff Passan talking about what Scott Boras was saying, that, or Michael was actually saying this, that some of the agents believed that they could sue and get all of the money as opposed to just agreeing to take the 25% cut as they already did. So where is the true benefit there for most teams not to play at all besides a team like the Mets?
I understand. I just was curious about why the Mets would save more money by not playing. Are there negotiations where the players don't get paid at all if there's just no season, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think they'd save money because you're not opening up the stadium and not getting any revenue from it. And they'd also have all the travel expenses that they'd be paying, all that kind of stuff. You know, you got to think about all the things that go with that. So imagine traveling a party of probably about at least 55 to 60 people and putting them in hotel rooms and putting them, you know, chartering planes and all that stuff for the at least a half a year. That's going to cost you a fortune. And the same thing with, I don't know how the finances would work out without the players. If they don't have a season, do they not get paid? How that works exactly? I don't think it's not get paid at all, because there's going to be a big fight about that if that's the case.
What about realigning just for one single, well, maybe a half season if we get it, just keep it very localized, you know?
I think that's possible. I definitely think that's possible, Thomas. Thanks for the call. Well, that was awkward. I think it's definitely possible that that could happen. I mean, we've heard the idea of the three 10-team divisions that are broken up strictly geographically and the leagues, in essence, thrown out for the season. So if you're going to do that, it's smart to potentially do that to cut down on the distance of travel and also cut down on having to take long flights and go all over the country and, frankly, risk more exposure for your players. I think that's possible. But there will be, to his point, there will be some teams that will vote against playing because it will save them some money at some point. And I believe the Mets will be one of those teams. It's just, will there be enough of them to not play? And then what do you do about paying your players? Because you already heard from Andrew Cuomo that Jeff Wilpon told him, well, if we're not playing in front of fans, players are going to have to take another cut. That's not going to go well.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.